This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey everybody, this is Gary Vaynerchuk, and this is episode 260 of the Ask Gary V Show. And I'm super fired up. Linda, before I introduce you to everybody,
yep.
I was watching a 30 for 30. Which one was it? Mike and the Mad Dog.
Oh,
you made an appearance in that.
I did. Yes. And yes, the whole Mike Piazza, my favorite meta.
That's
of all
what
time.
It was.
It was so perfect for me.
Do you know you look better now? You look better now than then.
Yeah.
You're incredible.
I have big hair. Thank
yes,
you.
It was. You're welcome. So if you don't know already, for the four people in the world that don't know, I'm here with Linda Cohn, who is, this is not a joke, I genuinely believe this, is a legend. And I'm tough with throwing that around because I want to be a legend, and so I don't like throwing it around so simply, but I genuinely believe that. And so Linda, please, for the audience that's watching now that maybe hasn't been in sports culture, which would then mean maybe they haven't seen you or you haven't hit their radar, why don't you spend 1 minute on who you are, and then I've got some questions. I mean, this is before, I apologize, I already cut you off before I started, and this
no
is
worries.
Gonna get everybody super excited. But the sushi dinner that you and I had.
Fabulous.
2 months ago is literally probably one of my favorite dinners of all time.
Seriously? It was amazing.
First of all, we were the only people in the restaurant.
We owned it.
Yes, we did. We did. Second, I was really amped up and brought some serious, deep sports knowledge, which I could tell through your eyes impressed you.
It was amazing. And also, but the irony was, because you're all about taking pictures visually, they didn't let us roll any camera.
I know. They kicked D-Rock, you got kicked out. Yeah. That was actually the best part.
It's like never happens to you.
No, it happens all the time.
Oh, okay, really? Yeah. Even that imposing figure that he is?
Yeah, even with that. All right, Linda, tell everybody
right,
who you
the
are.
The 2 cents, all right, here's the
3 cents.
3 cents,
okay. Legends get 3 cents.
Okay, nobody has hosted more sports centers than me on ESPN.
Okay, hold on, let's just say that one more time.
All right, nobody, male or female, has hosted more sports centers on ESPN than me, Linda Cohn.
The coolest.
All right. And I don't, you know, who knew if that was the plan going in? I was just doing what I loved, which is loving sports. And as you know, having a passion for something and saying, what the hell? Let me just do this. So that's what I did. And I just got into the Hall of Fame. But here's the thing, Gary.
Which Hall of Fame? The Broadcasters
yeah,
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Sports Media Hall of Fame.
So real quick, I need to, for you to answer
and
this.
And that was weird because I'm far from done, Gary.
Well, I'm aware. I know how you roll. We haven't even started here. Yeah. Okay, but before you get to that part, now is the sports... what is it? What's the official?
The official.
Do you not know?
Which I don't know. Google me.
What
there
is it?
It is.
National Sports, National Sports Media Hall of Fame. Now, is this a bullshit Hall of Fame like we have in the Advertising Hall of Fame? So there's an Advertising Hall of Fame in our world, and like people that are just getting started are getting in it. Like my friend Bonin's in it. Bonin's amazing, but he's not ready to be in a Hall of Fame. Is this a real one or a bullshit one?
Yeah.
Sports writers, sportscasters.
Vin Scully was one of the
ones
I was in.
Okay. Who's the weakest person in this Hall of Fame? It's not about who the best person is.
Right.
It's about who the weak, you make sense, but is like, Craig Kilborn in it?
No.
Okay, okay.
All right, yeah.
No, so,
I cannot, if you would have told me you would have mentioned Craig Kilborn in my time on the Gary V Show, I would have been like, please no.
By the way, I loved his 18 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, those were the best. Okay, I know this story, but I'm going to ask you to say it.
Can I tell you my little story first?
You can do anything.
All right, because, you know, again, when I go to a place and your humble home, it's amazing with all your amazing humans around me.
Yes, there's a lot of
I can't come empty-handed, and
it was,
you know. So first of all, because you know, because I know how much you love tongue-in-cheek the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I hate the Penguins.
I know. So I thought after they won their second straight Stanley Cup, where I was on the ice for celebrating.
Why'd you bring this
with Sidney Crosby? Because I like stirring the pot with you.
Yeah, understood.
So there it is. We'll leave that.
So I'm going to take this.
This will not be going on.
No, this will not be going on.
This might be in the bathroom.
No, no, I've
stall,
got something.
Correct?
I'm going to take it. And
okay.
Keep it real quick, where's the cameras? Okay, this is going to. I don't know if you're watching. One of my best friends in high school, Steve Nash, right, is a huge Penguins fan. When the Rangers lost the series when Graves broke his hand, that loss was the most devastating loss. I know they won in 94. What was that, 92, 93?
They were 94. 92, 93, they were supposed to win the cup.
Correct. That's the year.
That was the year, and that was the year they lost to the Pens.
That's right. That loss to the Pens, besides, let's think of all-time moments when I cried in sports. All-time number, top, let's do a Sports Center thing
how
here.
How long? Top 10. We got to do a top 10.
I don't know if I've got 10.
All right.
By the way, let's make pretend number 6 through 10 is all Jet games, random Jet games.
Well,
but here are the top 10.
I was
10.
Just going to say, there's
no question,
more than 10
losing,
Jet moments.
Losing, Linda, this could end real quick.
I know.
No question, at number, I should probably go in order. I'm gonna go in order back. I apologize for breaking this, but I wanna get it right. The time I cried the most, not even close,
all time
in sports history, was when the Jets lost to the Browns in the 86 playoff game. The Jets were winning by 10 points with 4 minutes left in the game and had the ball in Cleveland and somehow miraculously lost in double overtime. That was number one. Number two was when the Knicks lost game 7 to the Rockets.
94.
Correct. Cried like a baby my senior year in high school. Cried from 10:30 p.m. to 4 in the morning.
When John Starks failed basically to show up in that one.
That is correct. That crushed me. Number three.
Yes.
When Macho Man Randy Savage lost the title to Hulk Hogan, even though by then I was mature enough to know that the writing was on the wall and he was going to lose.
And it's fake.
Then it was fake.
Okay.
There was 1% chance that he was going to win. He didn't. And I cried for a good 2-3 hours. Number four, when the Rangers lost to the Pens in that series. That was the Ranger team that I thought was going to win the cup. That was the team. That was devastating to me.
Yeah.
I hate fucking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know,
so much.
Too. That's why I brought that.
And then, I understand. Yeah. And then number five.
What do you think? Another Jet moment?
Probably, yes. I've got so many, I've got an amazing, is AJ around? AJ had a lump under his armpit when he was three, and my parents and most doctors thought it was cancer.
Oh, wow.
The Jets lose a random regular season game to the Packers during this time. This is early Favre. The Jets lose a devastating middle of the season game. I start crying my ass off. This is I'm 16, 17. It's a regular season football game. I am crying like your dog died. My mom has been watching me cry over Jet games for years. She looks me dead in the face and loses her mind angry. One of the few times she was truly angry. She's like, your brother is potentially, like I don't know what she said in Russian, but she was like, your brother's sick.
Right.
She already went there. And she's like, and you haven't cried once and you're crying about this shit? And I was like, yep.
And you're a teenager?
Oh, I cried. So actually, thank you for saying that. You triggered. That's moving to number six.
Okay.
I have the official number five. In the Jets regular season opener in 1999.
Have we even talked postseason yet?
In the Jets regular season opener in 1998.
Not in playoff games.
You might remember this.
Yes.
Linda, this is a very famous moment.
Uh-oh.
The Jets opening game in San Francisco, they lose in overtime because Garrison Hurst had a 98-yard running play. Do you remember this?
I'll tell you, former Niner great of the past.
Yes.
Garrison Hurst, he came and went.
We went
His
to overtime.
Was against you.
Went into overtime. 98, the Jets kick the ball off to start overtime.
Right.
The ball bounces
Game
around
over.
Weird. No, great news. The ball bounces weird and the Niners have to start on the two. I'm dreaming of getting a safety to win the game.
Right. Perfect.
They
field.
Hand the ball off to Garrison Hurst, and he runs it 98 yards for
and, you
a
know,
touchdown.
Back then, that didn't happen.
Back then? You when know? Is that? Do you have any 98-yard
right.
rushing
now
yards?
We've actually seen like 101-yard rushing.
There's been like,
back, you know, when they start in the end zone and they
listen,
run.
Listen, you're a genius. What do you think? 30, 40 all-time plays over 98 yards? Like, in overtime, Jets lose. I just left college. I was now in New York. I cry, go in my car, and stick with me here. Drive to Boston.
Incredible.
I was so devastated.
Was it therapeutic?
I wanted to see my girlfriend. That's really the truth.
So that was the therapeutic.
But D-Rock, not really the truth. You fell for it. I cried and
did.
Was devastated.
We all did.
But I figured I'd go see my girlfriend because I knew I was going to work my ass off and never see her again.
All right, which brings me to my second attempt.
Yes, thank you.
Second attempt.
So this will go
gift.
To Steve Nash, my high school friend.
Okay. Not the Steve Nash who used to play for the Suns, who was an MVP.
No, I'm not friends with him yet.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's doing, but he's long retired. So this other thing, speaking of the Jets, so, you know, I got to credit my brother. I want to unwrap this.
This one I'm excited about.
We thought, because, you know, obviously huge fans, love the wall,
it's
love the personality, it's all
way.
You. And it's great. And like, you know what? So we're like, let's get a custom-made bobblehead, right? Wait,
yes,
wait,
keep
I'm
going
to build this up only for him to be
As me
down.
As the owner of the Jets.
Okay. Yes. And something happened along the way.
I lost an eye?
That was lost in translation. And and you'll recognize the color.
This is not good.
Apparently, they're colorblind.
What?
And so it's Al Toonsummer. So they. So basically, guys, this is like Pat Summerall, because he wore number 88 back in the day for the New York Football Giants. Also, Akeem Nicks. Okay, but this looks more. Now, first of all, does this even look like you?
So I have bad news. So first of all, it's
so they screwed up.
It doesn't look like me because there's not enough gray hair. Number two. Guys,
but I think they nailed the 5 o'clock shadow that
did.
You have.
Linda.
Yeah, I like that.
Linda.
Yes.
This is more of a Patriots jersey than a Giants jersey.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
You guys know that, right?
I was trying to take the high road for you. Keep it in New York.
I'm not putting this.
And obviously.
0 for 2. Neither item is making the shelf. Great news, though. This now leads me to exactly how I wanted it to play out.
Okay.
You will be the first ever two-time guest, though I think we've actually done that with somebody before. Casey, maybe? I don't know. But
that'd
anyway,
cool.
Linda, you're coming back, and
all
you
right.
guys will get another attempt to bring me a gift.
That
sounds
right.
good?
They're obviously, the reason why they screwed it up, they must have thought, who the heck would want to be the owner of the Jets? They must mean the Giants. I mean,
you keep asking questions, we'll keep answering. Thanks for coming on, Linda. Linda.
I love you, Gary. You know that.
I love you the most. Okay. Really, really, you're one of the, it's really amazing how much I adore you and how excited I was for today. Linda, please, now we've had a lot of fun, and I'm sure people listening are having a blast, but please do the part of this interview that's going to matter the most. We're going to get the question soon. Facebook, please put in your phone number. We're going to call in. We're going to do a bunch. And honestly, I still think I'm probably going to do a sports radio show. Weirdly enough, I think there's a dark horse chance that Linda and I will do a sports radio show together and be number one in the country. But before we get into that, I want you to tell us your career from beginning to end. Or at least beginning to Sports Center.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'll play around the edges. Here's why. Extremely motivational to me, and I rarely get motivated. This is incredibly powerful in my biggest thesis. You willed this into existence in an ungodly quick time. And it just, I feel like there's a lot of people watching me right now. I'm always trying to get you to action. I know a lot of people are listening right now. Pull over, stop your treadmill. I mean this. You need to listen to these next 4 minutes because this is the most valuable thing that's gonna happen in the show. From beginning to end, Linda, go.
All right, thanks so much, Gary. Here's the deal. I live my dream. I'm still living it. Reason why I grew up loving sports. I was a kid with low self-esteem. I wore thick glasses. I didn't feel good about myself. People laugh at that. I grew up on Long Island, middle-class family. What do I have to feel sorry for? But I didn't have anything to look forward to. Sports gave me that, gave me something to look forward to. Then I started playing hockey, street hockey. And ironically, I was a goalie. Why was I a goalie? Because I felt comfortable being hidden. Okay, because I didn't feel good about myself. Finally got contact lenses, realized I was a damn good goalie. You know, I had tremendous eye-hand coordination, ironically, Gary, because I was so nearsighted.
Yeah.
But the contacts help. And long story short, it like...
You had contacts?
Contact lens, right. So anyway, I was a kid. What got me back in the day, growing layers of tough skin to be able to handle the job that I do now and throughout the years, 30 years in the business at least, is the fact that I played hockey with boys that were 7 and 8 years old, ice hockey, when I was 14 years old, then I was 15. They didn't let me play with boys my age back in the day, but I still wanted to play. I wore the goalie mask, ponytail sticking out of the mask. Moms would whisper. I'd hear the moms.
Sure.
You know what they would say? What's that girl doing on the ice playing with my son?
Yeah, of course.
Playing hockey. I love hockey. Why can't I play hockey? And so that kind of helped me block out the noise. So anyway, as we fast forward, that was the reason, actually.
That's
to get
the foundation.
Tough. That was the foundation because I was always doing something that I loved and I didn't know where it was going to lead. Yeah, I wanted it to lead to a NHL goalie job. I wanted to be in the NHL. That
was not
happening.
Did that run through your mind?
Did
you think, like, that's, first of all, that's amazing.
It did because it was my strength, you know? The feeling I got when I made a big save and I saved the game for my teammates. I wanted to be in that pressure situation. I lived for it because suddenly I meant something. Again, kid with low self-esteem. Used to listen to depressing music. I mean, back in my day, it was John Denver and the Carpenters.
Yeah.
All right? You know, do we have to bring up Karen Carpenter here? You can just Google
her. We sure
her.
Do.
I know. So,
Jake's a huge fan.
There it is. But it's depressing. So it was a foundation. And so I couldn't be an NHL goalie. Okay, so what can I do? All right, I eventually played hockey with girls in college. and majored in broadcasting. But then, this is what gets me excited. When, forget when I finally met you, but when I knew about you, before I finally got to meet you and we had that great dinner at sushi place, the thing is, it's like, God, I'm seeing myself. Because I knew I was a 24/7 girl. I worked 7 days a week trying to get a break. I did radio. I did news on radio. I did local Long Island cable TV.
I wish D-Rock filmed our first dinner because I did I always listen, but through my talking, this dinner I did a lot of listening. So I really want you to go through it in detail. What is your first, so you're doing broadcasting in school?
Yeah, majoring in communication. Yep. You know, you do what you do, obviously you get involved, yep. You know, people know that now. Now it's so awesome. With social media, you can create your own persona.
Of course.
People will see you. Back in my day, you had to make a tape. You had to hope that news director or sports director would see it.
So as you're in school, you think, I want to be a big time sports what?
I didn't even say big time. I want a job where I can talk about sports because guess
what? And how rare was that for women?
I perk up when I talk sports.
And how rare was that for women?
It didn't exist at that
time. So could you look at anybody at that point or no?
There was no role model. I had no role models for women in sports. Early 80s when I was doing radio and news, I didn't get a break in sports until I worked for WCBS Radio 88 here in New York City. This was before WFAN.
I'm aware.
And then I got to do updates, sports updates with WFAN. They just had this big thing on Mike and the Mantle.
Because I want everybody to hear this. What is the first job you get and how did you get it?
Patchogue, Long Island, WALK Radio, 50,000 watt. I did news updates. And you know what happened? I volunteered to cover. You'll love this.
I know, that's why I'm making you say
it. I'm a diehard Ranger fan, duh. And I volunteered to cover the hated New York Islander games at the Nassau Coliseum, an hour away, the Nassau Coliseum from Patchogue, Long Island, where I did news updates. I created the idea. I brought it to my news director. I said, listen, I will go with my little tape recorder and cover Islander games. I will file 45-second radio reports. You can put in your little news updates for all to hear.
So you willed your way by doing that.
Right, without...
What years was that?
This was 1980, I want to say 83, 82, 83.
So they had just won all their cups?
Yes, and then I think I jinxed them because they stopped winning.
Right, so
they still beat the Rangers on a regular basis.
Correct, but you actually...
Speaking of crying during
games.
Belinda,
this is something that needs to be shared on social media. Quietly, I think that you actually jinxed... They won 4 Stanley Cups in a row.
Right.
You start covering them.
Right.
You're a real Rangers fan.
Right.
And they have not won a cup since.
That's accurate.
Correct. There is actually the curse of Linda Cohn on the Islanders.
That's accurate, and I'm loving
Linda,
the way this sounds.
Deal. Wait a minute. This is like a t-shirt. This is like a meme. This is like the reverse of 1940. Did we just break... This could get really big in the hockey community. Can we confirm, because I'm a little worried right now that your first year might have even been a year after or actually when they won. I see you thinking.
I am, because the Edmonton Oilers won in 1984 when they finally broke the jinx.
Yep.
And I believe, I will double check, but I believe
brother,
that is the accurate
Linda,
thing.
We need to do some real homework here because here's why. If true, this can turn into a substantial meme in hockey culture. I believe intuitively here on episode 260 of the Ask Gary Vee Show, we have established sports' second biggest curse. Maybe third, because the goat for the Cubs. Let's make this third. Linda, I think there's Cohn jinx
on
the Islanders. And I think that the Islanders will not win a Stanley Cup until you
die.
Can
we double check? Well, right. And by the way, the curse can continue if somehow the Rangers can get John Tavares, who hasn't been signed to a long-term extension.
Is that what you're thinking?
That would be awesome. That would be the curse. Tyler gives me the heads up. We should double check while I'm still here, and I'm still alive, thank you.
you caught that? I was trying to sneak that by while you were...
Last year, the Islanders won the Stanley Cup.
No, that I know. Oh, but you mean if that matches with you? I know that's the last time they won.
Yeah.
All right, Linda, you get the job doing the sports brief. I want you to... I know we're just having too much fun. I like you too much. I need this whole thing.
Well, this is for our radio show.
You need to go to Pacific Northwest. You have to go to Calgary Olympics.
Right.
I didn't forget shit. I want them to hear this, because I believe that everybody who's watching right now who wants to be a rapper, who wants to be a painter, who wants to be a startup founder, your story is so important to me because of the couple of things you did and why you did them and how you did them in the face of your marriages. I need you to tell it the way you told it to me, because It's going to help people.
You know, I meet important people. Again, not knowing that I was going to meet anybody, but what was I doing? I was just being myself, following my passion, covering hockey. And again, you knew I love hockey because I was covering the team I hated the most and made me cry, like the Jets have made you cry, as it's been well documented just right now. So,
but the reverse, actually, there. Actually, that would be me covering the Patriots.
Because
the Rangers and Jets were making me cry, right? It's the reverse. So you actually covered the Patriots, which is insane fucking shit.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Although I've seen enough Ranger Islander games where I've been in their dressing room and they're crying after Islander losses.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still hate Pot Van.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's still sad. So anyway, I met the right people. And that's what everyone has to remember. Ed Ingalls, sports director for WCS. Him watching me handle myself, how I handle myself professionally, dealing
because
with players.
Because somebody's always watching.
Right.
And when you don't think they are.
That's very great. Thank you for saying that. That's a very good point. And do you know, getting back, can I fast forward a little bit?
Nope.
That's one of the messages I always say, because I'm very, something I'm really
no means
into.
No.
No, no. Something do I'm not, really,
yes,
I'm
we've established
into.
Everybody's watching.
I know.
I need your story because we're not going to get to it.
Okay.
Literally the whole podcast is going to be done. We're just going to get to the Calgary Olympics. Can we go? So
okay.
He's watching.
First, by the way, all this led to me being the first woman doing sports reports in New York on the radio. WCBS, Ed Ingalls hired me to do sports updates overnight that were repeated over and over and over again. This was before WFAN, all sports talk radio. Then WFAN hired
me.
Real
quick, stop.
Mm-hmm.
How many years after, so you're playing field hockey in college, right?
No, ice hockey.
Respect.
Field hockey didn't last long, too boring.
Respect.
It was in high school.
Respect. You're playing hockey, you get this first job news,
right.
You want sports, so you go and hustle it.
Right.
They watch, somebody, Ed, sees you hustling
right.
And hires you to do the overnight thing.
Right.
How quickly did that all happen?
That happened after one hockey season.
Right. So about a year after your... Like,
because one hockey season, then he's hiring me to... Then he says, hey, you want to cover the Mets at Shea doing this? Hey, you want to cover the U.S. Open for us? Yes, 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 yes. Hey, you want to do sports updates? So yes, within a year.
And how, at this point... Are you feeling any flack for, this is what, 1984?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, yeah, this is all in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And also I was on Sports Phone, which is a legendary thing where you used to do sports updates in a room that was the size of a telephone booth.
And people would pay.
People would pay. Gamblers would pay. Big time, because that's what it was.
Tyler's a degenerate and will probably be dead within a year. All right, go ahead. I mean, he just gambles. He gambles on anything.
There's a lot of...
He gambled with D-Rock about how long this interview is actually going to go.
He's
sick. He's a sick child. I don't expect him to be around much longer.
No,
why do you think I just hired Z today? New assistant, Z.
There is way too much death talk in this episode. We must end that. Okay,
all
right. So we do it. So 7 days a week, 7 days a week, 7 days a week. While I'm at FAN, I said, and I was doing local cable TV. Couldn't do sports. Wasn't allowed. What did I do? I baked cookies for the camera crew one afternoon so I can put together a sports tape. I created my own sports tape for local Long Island TV so I could send it out to cities where I wanted to live, Gary. And one of those cities was Seattle, Washington.
Why did you want to live in Seattle?
Because in Calgary, when I went out there, I fell in love with
Calgary.
Because I was also one of my million of jobs that I worked 7 days a week was ABC Radio, where I did sports update. And back in then, in the 1988, ABC had the rights to the Olympics. So Calgary was the Winter Olympics in 1988. I went out there.
Fun fact,
fell in
Brian
love.
Leach and Brian Rick, Brian Leach
and
Mike Richter were on that 88 US team and later became Rangers and won the actual cup that the Rangers finally got.
And that team in Calgary was an embarrassment.
The Russians destroyed the shit
finished
out of them.
Finished eighth. They didn't.
The Russians destroyed
right.
them.
Finished eighth. Eighth, didn't even win medal competition. Little did I know they would be winning the cup for my dream team. So yeah. So that's the whole Calgary thing.
Who was that awesome Ranger that they traded when he was young to the Blackhawks? Amato?
Oh, Tony Amato.
And he was he
but
on that team
was
too?
A big trade because that brought back Mike Garton.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Mike Garton was a big, I think it was Mike Garton. Maybe not. He
but
came
was
from
Amato
Washington.
Was Amato on that 88 Olympic team?
He might have been.
Because his name just popped in my head.
I don't know because I only remember
Richter. I knew that. Which makes you, what happens in Calgary?
Well, I fall in love with Calgary and I go, wait a minute, I want to move to Canada. Remember, I love hockey. But that wasn't logistic at that point in my life and realistic. So what is the equivalent? So I asked one of our producers who was working with me, I said, what's an American city that's most like Calgary? She goes, why don't you come visit me in Seattle in July? Because again, I was there February. Come visit me in July. You can drop off your tape. That's what you did back then, to news directors The CBS, the ABC, the NBC affiliate in Seattle.
I apologize real quick.
No, go ahead.
You fuck faces want to become famous and win. And Linda had to wait from February to fucking July to drop off a tape, but you can DM fuckers on Instagram right now while you're listening. Linda, you have to understand, I'm pissed. People are crying that they can't make it, and they can literally fucking DM people, yet you had to wait from fucking February to July to drop off a fucking tape.
You get 100 emails, I get 100 emails.
I get it.
I have people that I respond to. First of all, I love giving back. When if you ask me, I know I'm fast forwarding, I know you want my whole timeline, but I got to get this in because it's really important to me. All that shit never would have happened if I wasn't grateful and if I wasn't just living and doing what I really wanted and not worried about what happens if, like worrying about shit that may never, ever happen. Just move forward, just keep going. So anyway, it's important to me right now to give back, because when I see qualities of myself, just like you, when you go back and you do your little people have little podcasts or little radio interviews. That's what I try to do, and that's what I accomplish because I see you do it, and that means a lot to me, and it means so much. But then there are people out there that I think have such balls. Like, they'll get my email address, but I'll applaud them because then they're like, hey, Lynn, this is where it gets bad, though. There was this one woman got my email address, all right? True story. Great. I'm ready to applaud. I'm ready to reply back to her. Hey, wow, great. Looking to help. What's your story? Then she says, hey, is it okay if I send you my resume so you can hand it to somebody? That turned me off, Gary.
Because she thought you weren't big enough, like important. Like
no,
what?
She thought she didn't want. She stopped doing the work.
I see. She just was
I
giving,
frown upon that.
Because with giving with expectation.
Right.
I understand.
Why don't you pick my brain? You have my attention.
You're a fucking Hall of Famer.
Right. And it's legit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so that's the
yes,
kind
I
of
do.
Thing that's important. So when I do, which I love doing, and I've been doing it, speaking engagements, you know, keynote, doing things like that, I love the opportunity, just like you, to touch people.
I know, I'm completely obsessed with you, Linda.
But it's like mutual, but I know it sounds like a love fest here, I'm sorry, but it's truth. And the other thing is, it's really true. So when I'm like traveling and stuff, I do. I'm looking on YouTube, I'm looking at seeing what kind of stuff I can steal from you, if that's okay. Full disclosure, I'm stealing from Gary Vee.
I want everything stolen.
Okay.
It's why I'm putting it out, and it's free. Linda, Calgary, you fall in love. You go to Seattle, what's happening?
Seattle, great. 6 months into the Seattle gig, ESPN calls me. That time I was married. My husband at that time said to me, I didn't drop my job. Not that it was a high-paying job in his part. He goes, I didn't drop my job, move 3,000 miles, only to move all the way back within 6 months. We're staying. And guess what? Of all the things that was a positive, that was good advice. Because I was able, listen to this, hone my skills. I had a chance to then cover the Mariners, the Seahawks, you know, all the packed, you know, at that time, obviously the Washington Huskies, the Sonics were there. Really hone my skills. And also, I stopped. I had a kid. I had my daughter, Sammy, who you're going to meet. I had my daughter, Sammy, there. And I kind of like, not slowed down.
How
but old
just were
appreciate.
You at this, how old were you at this
yeah, well,
point?
That, at that you point, 30.
Oh, really?
So
okay,
I,
so this got
yeah,
stretched out. Okay.
So it did. And that's, and for people that are watching, listening, and all that, Gary, there's always hope. It doesn't matter what age you're
what
at.
What year was that, Lynn?
This was 19. I went out to Seattle in October of 89. And
ESPN wants you.
Right. But by 90, they wanted me, but I had to turn
at
them
90,
down.
Oh, my God.
And then I had to say, listen.
How hard
if they
was
want
that?
Me, it was tough. It was tough.
Because at that point, ESPN was in like clearly
yeah.
on its way.
Yeah, totally on its
my
way.
My whole life was about SportsCenter
right.
1990.
1990. Can you?
Everything.
I mean, that's
pre-internet. It's everything.
Well, you guys weren't even born
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, these fuckers.
These guys
but,
weren't.
You know,
and you were a baby.
I was 15 and focused.
Right.
And so,
wait, you weren't. We've established you're 15 and crying over the
you know,
Jets.
I,
the
yeah,
last
1990,
year.
I did a lot of crying.
Yeah, okay, good.
You know, and so.
Oh, so anyway, yeah. So so I just figured, and after some therapy, and slowing down my life a little and having the, you know, balance, but still having that urge to accomplish and keep going next level and be better. I had a child. It was great. And then they called again two years late. So my contract in Seattle was 3 years. They called 2.5 years in. So Seattle let
who
me
called?
Leave the contract early. The bosses, you know, Al Jaffe, who was the talent guy at ESPN. And he called again, flew me out to Bristol again. And then we talked and said they wanted to hire me. And they wanted to hire me to host SportsCenter and also be a reporter. And it turned out it was more SportsCenter they wanted me. And then to this day, the people there in and around, I'm still highlights are the thing that I do well. Why? Because I've always because I played the games. You know what I'm saying? And I get it, and I get it from an athlete's point of view. I wasn't there to make people cry and win Emmys. Do you understand, yes. Gary? And there's yes. so many people in our business that that's all they care about. And that was never it for me because I just loved having this. To me, it was a high. It was a legal high. It was that roller coaster that I so love being a fan. And I'll never forget being a fan. And I'm always a fan first to this day. And getting back to your earlier point, you always make believe someone is watching you for the very first time. Because people always say, how do you keep this going? How do you stay fresh? How does it still mean something to you?
The good news is when you're doing something as big as that, you are getting people seeing you for the first time.
It's yes, including athletes. And that was the great opportunity because then athletes can see that I'm not a fraud, mm-hmm. that I really did love sports.
Well, the hockey guys must obsess over you. It's such a small culture of people right. that actually know hockey.
They push. They know that it's true. I mean, they definitely, it's definitely
there. Is that
the
best? Like, is it the best when you go it's to the why, garden? I mean,
yeah,
the garden's right
it's
behind
great,
you.
The garden, but the even view. Anywhere. Yeah.
Do you see it? Take a good look.
Yeah,
this is why my office.
When
is
can
here.
I work here?
Well, anytime. All right, tomorrow, good. Right
we'll,
now.
We'll work it out. I'm telling you. I mean, just for
D-Rock, you're fired.
I know.
And so, Linda, now I'm going to veer it before we get into the question.
Yeah.
Because I can't stop talking to you. So when do you go to Sports Center?
1992, July 1992. Right. Just celebrated 25 years, July 1st.
Right. So like, amazing. Congratulations.
Thank
that
you.
That is like the golden era for a lot of people.
Yes.
Of personalities, Keith. And Dan,
yeah.
and like Stuart, like that's when all of you guys yeah. were making up all sorts of words just to top each other. Like, that is like the golden era of SportsCenter. But that was when it was a cultural phenomenon.
That's so true.
So you walk in, and what happens? First day, you walk in. Give me a
even
give
before
me two
first
good
day. Even before first
Go ahead,
day.
Take it away.
Still in Seattle, moving. I called my friend who was working there, Gary Miller. Okay, Gary, great broadcaster
great.
Back in the day. Matter of fact, great Gary Miller story, and it's timely. OJ Bronco ride. Gary and I were scheduled to do the 11 p.m. Eastern Sports Center on that amazing night where we all thought he was going to blow his brains out in 1994.
Yep.
Of course, the Knicks and Rockets
I was
were playing.
There. I was literally right there.
Right there, right.
So, I got a story about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So ahead. Okay. So that's what Gary. But that's fast forward. That was 1994. Gary Miller.
You're not done. I'm
wait,
super into
okay,
this.
So all right,
you guys
so anyway,
are going to do Sports
so
Center. What happens?
Before I even go there, so I go get. I talk to Gary. He says, "Linda, I just got to warn you. You know, not warning, but you know, he was buddies with Dan Patrick. I said, can I talk to Dan about me coming there? You know, and Dan, as you mentioned, staple with Keith Olbermann, the Big Show.
The Big
right?
Show.
I'll never forget what Dan said to me. You know, he said, do you realize, and he may have said it tongue in cheek, because, you know, Dan Patrick's a funny guy.
He is.
And he said to me, he goes, do you realize every woman before you has basically failed here? I mean, talk about rolling out the red carpet.
Yeah.
And so imagine that. You know, here you are.
The best part about that story is that's a hell of a lot better than Keith did.
Yeah, well, Keith, right. You know, and I love KO, and he's something special, and he is unique.
He sure is.
You know, he's a piece of work.
Yep. But, so how did that go with you? Like
that
you
was
said
great,
that?
But you go through a phase, and I think a lot of you know the people.
Did
that
you say to Dan,
you,
Dan, fuck you? I played hockey with 7-year-old boys.
See, I wish I did. See, that's where the little girl comes
sure,
out,
sure.
And that's part of my message when I speak to people, and I speak guys and gals, because there's a lot of self-esteem issues, and I still fight it to this day, Gary, fighting that little girl and giving that little girl inside me a hug.
But what about
I never
but,
got the hugs?
But the chip is good. It's an engine.
Yeah,
you want to give it a hug. Listen,
I'll give you another story.
You know,
you
your
want
curse
another
is
story?
Your gift.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It keeps us going.
100%.
It's if I didn't have
those
that,
kids that made me drink piss out of a Pepsi cup
story?
In Dover, New Jersey, when I was four. I'm basically going to build an empire just to stick it down their fucking throat.
I'll tell you something ironic. One of my colleagues still works at ESPN, Neil Everett, okay?
Yes, Neil.
Right, Neil, great guy, right? When I was going through one of those moments where I wasn't feeling confident in myself, and we all get it.
Yeah, of course.
He said to me, do you know who you are? I go, who am I?
Batman.
He goes, Catwoman, actually, if I had a choice. He goes, you're LFC. And I go, LFC? You're Linda fucking Cohn. And then one day I was visiting my brother, Dr. Howard Cohn in Orange County, where
the doctor's in the building.
Yeah, his company, 7.2, is in a building. We were outside. We were chatting. I looked up at the top of his building. What did it say? LFC.
I love that. I love that so much.
It was crazy, man.
So what happened? So give me one story. First of all, the OJ story. You guys were supposed to do the 11
yeah,
p.m.
Yeah, so doing the 11. Now obviously, it's going on earlier in the day,
yes.
West Coast, but
right.
we still had
but the
to.
The Knicks game was late. It was
right.
Set, right?
Right, but ESPN was having the ABC News feed. So you didn't get any sports on ESPN
at the
time. They
took over the feed?
They took over the feed. They took over the feed, and we just all, everybody together, let's watch OJ. And he's going to blow his head off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
crazy.
What we all thought.
It was
and
crazy.
I'll never forget, me and Gary, here's the monitors in the desk.
Yes.
And we're just like this. The whole damn time, and we had to stay put.
When did it end? When did he pull into the, when did that
I
end?
I want to say it was like 1:30 a.m. Eastern time, somewhere around that, you know, don't quote me.
Sure.
But it was in the wee hours
of the
morning.
So you guys didn't have a sports center?
No, we didn't have a sports center. They kept that news feed going.
Makes sense.
You know, I mean, it was, I'm not
All right,
gonna,
Andy, let's
know.
Get some phone calls.
Yeah, please do. No show.
You're just
By
the best.
Way, nice view.
It's pretty
Two
rad,
months
right?
Till hockey season.
You excited?
20 minutes later.
Understood. Tyler, thanks for ruining the show.
Debbie Downer.
The reason Tyler brought that up, a little behind the scenes, the reason we've been debating that I cut off guests is when I know that I have other meetings behind it, I'm trying to fit it in, and when I have nothing behind it, I don't. So that was actually a great job by Tyler, because he's right, he can feel me. I'd already started feeling a little pressure. Good
well
job,
done.
Tyler.
Well done.
John Scott from St. Louis. Hello?
John, this is Gary Vee. You're on the Ask Gary Vee Show with the legend, Linda Cohn.
Hi, John.
That is awesome. Hey, guys, how are you?
Great. What's your question?
So, myself, along with a group of investors, recently bought the International Racquetball Tour, and we are trying to create or find ways to create national media exposure, and thought, who better to get advice from than you guys?
That is a very good point.
Yeah. First of all, is racquetball still a sport?
Yes.
I mean, it was big. I played... You know, there are so many different definitions of racquetball of what it used to be. Same with handball.
Hey,
you know,
Linda,
there are different,
hey,
yes.
Linda, do you know what you just did?
What?
You just basically turned into Dan Patrick. You literally just did to this lovely man from St. Louis exactly what Dan Patrick did to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm
right.
Sorry. Continue, John.
Racquetball is going to be the biggest sport in America in 2037
yeah.
if you make a deal with Snapchat as an OTT play and you develop stars the way Sonny Worblin created Joe Namath. The key for sports is distribution and star making. So the advice I give you is you need to look at Facebook, Netflix, Amazon, and those players as your OTT, not ESPN, not ABC, and that conglomerate Disney or CBS or NBC, because they're going to be looking at it differently, and they're going to make you pay to even be on there, because that's what they do with small things. And I think then you've got to find the most handsome or beautiful racquetball player with charisma in the world and make them a social media star, and now you've got a prayer to have something.
Speaking of, but here's the thing. We love goofy things, and we put it on top 10. We put on the cornhole
yes.
championship.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm like, as I'm reading this in the top 10, I'm like, what the hell did I just read? What does it all mean? That's
correct.
The kind of thing. Exactly what you said, getting a pretty person or something
sure.
goofy and crazy to get exposure.
Scott, it's star making and distribution in a modern way. The same way that ESPN had to start off with bullfighting and
it's
darts.
It's the same John or Scott.
Is it John? I keep calling him Scott, right?
There's a John Scott who used to play in the NHL.
John, can you change your name to Scott?
Not the same one.
Got okay. It.
John, I think you guys probably know that's the move, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've got to take this opportunity that we have. You know, we've got some very marketable stars out there.
Great.
And believe it or not, we have over 100 events a year.
I believe it.
With prize purses of $60,000 and more. In some
I believe
of these
it.
Events. But trying to get out of that box has proven difficult for the past owners. And now that we have a group of investors that are willing to spend the money and figure this out, we're very motivated
to take this
to where it used to be.
My man, you are the poker tournaments pre-ESPN coverage. The problem is ESPN's not the place you should do that now with. You need to figure out basically the same model for the new environment of consumption.
I like that. I appreciate
so
that.
So you need to really think about what OTT means. Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter are the preview. There are going to be so many places. Content has never been in a better place. You need to cold email Bleacher Report and Barstool and ESPN.
So
and
good.
Like you have to find distribution. Because if you gave me the New York Jets right now, if you said, hey, I'm John Scott, like genie from the future. And if you can name one racquetball player, one, I will give you the New York Jets, I would lose. I cannot name one racquetball player.
Nor can I.
And wow. Linda Cohn is a Hall of Famer.
Legit.
legit. So that's it, man. Distribution. Good luck, my man.
Thank you very much for the
advice. Guys, it's all distribution. It's all about distribution. It's about getting awareness. And then it's having the right product for the new medium. I would argue in a 360 camera world, racquetball might be in the best place it's ever been. Because if you think about the dynamics of that sport, much like American football needed television to break through the radio, right? Much like radio was a great boxing and horse racing and baseball sport,
right,
and NFL football and basketball did great on television, what sports will do great in a mobile 360 VR AR world?
Put a GoPro thing on one of these guys' heads.
100%.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh.
Who do we have next?
Sue Ann.
Linda, I cannot believe you were doing SportsCenter the night of OJ.
Yes, incredible.
I gotta get back to that in a minute. Other memorable nights. You gotta tell me if you've been on when, like, President's
Joe
died.
Joe Carter when he hit that home run.
Jesus.
Work that night. No president's dying, thank God.
No.
Were
you on?
I was in that building.
I was in the building too. You know, I took hangers out of the.
Oh, I have a great story.
I stole stuff.
Oh, I have a great story.
Sue Ann, devastating. Next.
Okay. Listen, Game 7, Rangers Devils conference final, perhaps the most amazing
Mateau
game, double overtime.
Yes.
Mateau. That night I was doing the 6 o'clock Sports Center, got up to doing it with Charlie Steiner. I said, and
Charlie,
that's when ESPN, Charlie, ESPN
boxing
had
guy. I'm a boxing guy.
Loved it.
Yes.
Been doing Dodgers play-by-play forever on the radio. Doing the 6 p.m. Sports Center that night. We had hockey back then. I said Rangers Devils were next. It's going to be a classic. I had no idea. It really was. But then my bosses said, Linda, we need to talk to you before you go home. I go, wait, there's a game.
Game
I gotta
seven.
Get home.
This is
it's
my
game
whole life.
Seven. I gotta go home. I couldn't go to the game, blah, 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 because I had to work, you know? And so he's like, oh, it won't take long. That's when they basically said they almost fired me. I had this is a true story. I almost got fired on the night of game seven, Rangers Devils, because they weren't happy with my work. They loved me as a human. They knew I love sports. They said it's not coming out enough. This is 2 years into my contract.
Wow.
I had a 2-year contract with an option for two more. They said we're going to keep the option, but only for 1 year, but we're going to need to see something, improvement within 6 months. So I was basically a lame duck. So here I am at ESPN, dream job, 2 years in. No feedback, oh, by the way, for the first 2 years, telling me good or bad, suddenly, night of game seven. You know, that's when they say, hey, we know you know sports. You talk about it all the time.
Was this,
you have a
because,
great personality.
Was this because everybody was so hyperbolized on SportsCenter at that point? I mean, that was the aloha means goodbye.
Right.
And like, people were just making up shit every night.
Right. They just felt that I didn't feel comfortable. It's almost like when the red light went on, it wasn't the comfort level.
That's some horseshit. I'm pretty pissed because this is when I consumed
and
everything.
Now look,
I feel like that was during a shtick era. You were,
and I was not shtick.
Right, you were depth.
Right, as a matter of fact, getting back to Keith and Dan.
Which was a good
thank
offset.
You. Thank you, and that's where I felt, it really was.
I'm
was
upset
like
with the feedback.
Voice of reason. And what I loved about not having a so-called cliche, and I tried the catchphrases, you know, for the love of elevation and all that and everything, you know.
I mean, guys, you
missed
it.
And my classic story about Master Batter.
Yes, that was
good. Of course, you know, a great name for a softball team.
Yes.
The Master Batters, you know. So, you know, when someone hits a home run.
We get it.
I know, you guys are so quick. No pun intended. Wow, we're doing good. We're hitting
the
way. Okay.
How about night? Wait, real quick. Now
okay,
I'm just.
Back to
I'm
OJ.
Going. No,
oh,
wait, I'm going no. all over the place now. You were in Seattle the night Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, right? Because that was 1990-91.
Yes,
90.
Definitely.
It was 90.
Yes,
it was 90.
Yes.
So it was February 90. So I don't know if you know this. I did not go to school that Monday because I was in a state of shock.
As long as you weren't crying.
I cried.
Yeah.
Guys, I cried. Guys, sports was my whole life, and I would cry if I was upset.
I went out on a limb
do
on
you
that
remember,
one.
Do you remember the night Tyson lost or no?
It's the most
moment.
Shocking thing ever in boxing history.
That is the most
biggest.
I would argue
it's
that
bigger
that's the
than
biggest
Leon
shock.
Spinks.
100%.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I wasn't around for that.
Yeah.
Well, I was not also around for the 80 Olympic match, so like I was too young.
But I mean, in boxing, no question.
Do you think it's, I think it's the most shocking moment in sports history for somebody that's 41 years old. Help me here. What happened in the last 30 years that is more shocking than Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson?
Oh, the Patriots coming back from a 28-3 deficit to beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
That's not true. You want a fun fact? I did not watch one play of that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nor any other Super Bowl the Patriots have been in the last 3 out of 4 times.
You must have been.
Because I don't watch. Yeah. That wasn't shocking. I would argue that the Jets Monday Night Miracle, named Monday Night Miracle, was more shocking. There was 8 people left in that fucking stadium. We were losing 30-7 with 10 minutes left, and we won.
And what did you win exactly?
The greatest moment of my life. Actually, this is a true story. The greatest moment of my life is when the Jets beat the Patriots in the second round of the playoffs.
That was huge.
That was stunning.
Is that when Bart Scott said,
can't wait.
Yeah, to Sal Palantonio.
That is the best day of my life. Best day of my life. Best day of my life. Jets beating Patriots in the second round of the playoffs. Not a Super Bowl. Not even an AFC Championship game. A divisional playoff game. Nobody thought they were going to win. I thought I was going up to Boston to lose 55-6 was my official prediction. They lost 45-3 6 weeks earlier. Best day ever. Ever.
I understand that. I understand. You should love Tom Brady. He's all about nutrition. He's got a book coming out, TB12. You're about fitness. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, he's your guy. You just don't know it yet.
Listen, I will say this, and I'll never admit it to anybody other than you.
Okay.
It breaks my heart that this is a good human being. See, Michael Jordan's easy. He's right. A terrible human being. Right? So he was easy to consume because, yes, he destroyed my heart and made me cry often. But thank God he's an awful guy. Tom, on the other hand.
Great human.
Seems to be the case.
Yeah. Where were we?
Where are you calling?
Where?
Maybe, sounds like a weird ring.
By the way, nice Hong Kong. Maybe Hong Kong he's calling.
Who? Julie, it's Gary Vee. You're on
Hello?
The Ask Gary. Julie, this is Gary Vee.
Hey, Gary V.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're
Linda,
on?
How are you?
Oh, great. Hello.
Where are you from, Jules?
I'm good.
Where are you from, Jules?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
What can we help you with?
All right, I've got 2 questions for you. I'll make up for Sue Ann. My first one is about NASCAR. Ooh. If you look in the stands during a NASCAR race,
yep.
These days they're basically empty.
Yep.
What does NASCAR need to do to rebrand and market in this era?
Yeah, it is really on the downturn. Now that Dale Jr., the most popular driver, probably in all of NASCAR history, when you think about it in this world, is retiring. He's just going to join NBC. These guys, I mean, they're just not, the personalities are not there. You know, you tell me, who's your favorite driver? Is it a guy like Kyle Busch? Is that, you know, I mean, who is the guy that lights your fire? Because you need more drivers that light fires.
Well, obviously, Jimmy Johnson, he's the All-American. You had Jeff Gordon, everybody boos
and he
him
retired,
when he goes
yep.
around.
Julie, what's up? You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here. So are you a big NASCAR fan?
I'm really not, but I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, so it's really the home of a lot of drivers.
Not
far from a lot of their shops.
So this is going to be great. I'm glad I asked that because it's going to be easier for me now to say what I'm going to say. I'm weirdly very excited about NASCAR's downturn. Because I bet the farm with a bunch of my friends 7-8 years ago when NASCAR was clearly on the way up that it wasn't sustainable and that I thought the bottom was gonna fall out. And so I'm proud of myself.
Why did you, I'm curious, Gary, why did you think that at that time?
I thought that they were doing, so I'm a big believer in tripling down on your strengths and staying true to your DNA. I had felt that there was so much momentum going on that they started creating behavior in the NASCAR ecosystem that seemed to me more Super Bowl-esque, more mainstream sports. What they were trying to do was expand, and I think they took their fans for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I think they felt that their tried and true would stay there, and I thought they made a terrible bet on not, I thought they were one of the worst organizations with the digital world that was coming.
They were behind.
They were super behind. They should have been triple downing on letting their drivers do things. And I felt like they became more money oriented and more mainstream than more long term, tried and true. And they should have really, really, really embraced social and digital. They went the other way. And I think it cost them. I mean, it's crazy. The ratings on TV are non-existent.
Yeah.
Julie's educating me. To me, it's already a foregone conclusion. I didn't realize the stands were that empty.
And I didn't even know when I heard that Dale Jr. is going to join NBC. And I'm like, I didn't even know they had NASCAR. I don't know where to look to find NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, So Jules, I know you got a second question. Let's get to that. Yeah. I mean, here's my punchline. I think what they need to do is modernize and storytell where people are. And by the way, Julie, this is my recommendation for all organizations. Yeah. Linda's Beloved Hockey is stunningly irrelevant as well.
Yes, regional.
It's just the truth.
It's regional, it's like NASCAR.
That's right.
And so, what baseball is becoming.
100%. Like, yeah, you've got to storytell in a modern way. This is where the NBA has gone global and completely embraced, and I'm unbelievably bullish on the NBA while quite concerned about things like NASCAR hockey. And baseball's interesting because I think it has a lock on entertainment during the summer to go to.
Because there's no competition.
Correct. So I think they're in a nice spot. It's the same reason I think the USFL should come back. I think spring football should come back. I have been having weird dreams later of rebooting the USFL, starting a spring football league, because I think it would work, because I think football is so popular in America that think about all the great college players that don't make the league. It will not be the NFL, but spring football would work in this country.
I totally agree. People are killing for CFL highlights and loving the I do
spring
arena football.
Remember
highlights.
I said it. Julie, second question.
That's a great idea.
Second question. What are your thoughts on the lack of coverage for the Tour de France?
Oh.
And do you think since the Lance era, in quotes there, that cycling in America has faded?
I barely knew it was here.
Yeah.
Linda?
I'm telling you, who cares? Yeah. I couldn't care less. Nobody cares. I respect overseas in Europe. They love it. They love the cycling. People ride their bikes in this country, but they're not doing it
the
way they're doing it.
Yeah, we hate bikes in America.
Yeah.
Like, I think we like them
they're
for
annoying.
Ourselves. Yeah, you know what? Fuck bikes.
I know. They're in, you know, Gary, they're in our way. Gary, they're in our way.
Listen, Julie, this is you know what? Listen, as somebody who wasn't born in America, the thing I but is such a happy American, the thing I respect about America is also its weakness. We're so insular. Like, we're finally getting around to soccer, but like, if you're doing well outside the US as a sport, we out of spite say fuck you. Like, Formula One, go fuck yourself. Like, cycling, go fuck yourself. And for a long time, even soccer, we're just funny that way.
Don't shove it down my throat, though. With the soccer. I mean, I have a hard time.
Well,
I got to do highlights of it.
You work for the organization that
loves
shoved
soccer.
It. No,
I know.
That doesn't love soccer. ESPN is the smartest. When they sign the right, all of a sudden, miraculously, after they lock up the World Cup for the rest of our lives, yeah, they start showing me top 10 plays from fucking Europe.
Right, and it's always number one. Soccer is always number one in top 10.
Some fucking bicycle kick from La Liga.
I
Who
mean,
gives
come
a fuck?
On.
All right, let's move on to one. Julie, you're the best.
Great
Love
call.
You. Thank you for calling. That
Thanks,
was really
guys,
that was great.
It.
By the way, Julie, that was great actually.
Call. Yeah.
That was a great call. Had culture and sports mixed in. We'll give you one more, Andy, in the face of Tyler's face. I'm just having too much. Linda, do you think that we should start a daily sports radio show?
Can you fit it in your schedule and
Who's
my schedule?
Who's number one?
You?
No, I know that. We're not talking about life. I'm talking about in sports radio right now. Who's number one? Mike Francesa still?
No. I mean,
I'm 7 minutes late for dinner. That's fine.
All right.
Linda Cohn, the legend,
right.
Hall
Blame
of Famers
it on
in
me,
the building.
Tyler.
Tell
Legit.
Tell Constantine we'll be fine. Myself. Tell him. Who's this?
Nick from Bowling Green.
Nick.
From Bowling Green.
Nick, are you there? Yes, man. You made it. You
here.
Penetrated. You've won this rare. I mean, the odds of you breaking through were very high. But you did it, Nick, from Bowling Green.
Yeah. Dude, that is amazing. I can't. It showed up. It was like, this might be VaynerMedia, but we're not sure.
Yeah, we're familiar
Nick,
with that.
Apple
knows you, man. It's awesome.
Amazing.
Wow.
So, what's your question, brother?
Hold on. I gotta relax a little bit.
Deep breath.
So my question is so. I feel like I've listened to you. I've done a lot of your I've consumed a lot of your content, and I'm trying to dwindle that and just hustle and work. My thing is like you said, be self-aware, and I realize I know I'm not an entrepreneur. I guarantee it. Like I'm just not
Good.
Organized enough. I'm not anal enough.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, I am neither organized or anal.
Be you, man. Be you.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
What I am is
completely
fearless, and that is. That to me is the one that you need to be because entrepreneurship is lonely and scary.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like I can't do that. Like I've had discussions with my father who thinks that he can.
Good for you.
And I'm just like we can't. So
I wish I wasn't. It's hard. I mean it.
Yeah,
like you need to. Good for you. So what's the punchline?
So the punchline is like, I think I have a talent for talking and just talking about like football, because I'm in love with football, which I think is, I mean, like,
who's your team?
Oh, man, I'm on the Tennessee Titans, definitely. Okay. First,
right,
and foremost.
Eric Decker is an amazing signing, and I think Mariota is a breakthrough player.
Stay healthy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. As long as he stays healthy, man, I'm excited about this year. Like, I saw USA Today was like, hey, they're going to be 12-4. I'm like, awesome.
Dude, don't listen to fucking USA Today.
Are they still a newspaper?
By the way, that same USA Today said the Jets were going to be 1-15, and I was like, yes, Sam Darnold.
You love Josh McCown,
exactly,
don't you?
Exactly.
As a human, yes. Yeah, but I really want to go 1-15.
You know, he wants to win with your team.
I'm sure he does.
Did you hear what Brandon
dude.
Marshall had to say?
I'm sure.
Yeah, they had to apologize. You know, he took the high road.
Nick, I don't know if you heard, but Linda and I are starting what's going to be the number one sports radio show in America. We probably need a third member.
You could be like that sidekick.
Honestly, the thing is like, that's exactly what I want to do.
No shit,
I want
Dick.
To talk about this.
So what are you doing about it other than the random lottery that might have just happened that has no chance of happening?
Right. Nick from Bowling Green.
Yeah, it's me. It's Linda and Gary and Nick from Bowling Green. So
what are you doing about it, Nick?
You need to put out content every day. Right. You should basically create SportsCenter on Twitter and Instagram every day, phone to your
YouTube,
face.
YouTube, man, anything. It's so easy now.
Yeah, Linda's pissed. She had to take
That's
a tape
right.
from February to fucking July. She sat on a fucking tape.
I basically
Nick.
Walked across the country.
Nick,
let's
she
embellish.
Fucking sat on a tape for 6 months.
Yes.
What are you doing?
What I'm doing is I'm getting in contact, especially with fantasy football podcast producers.
Good, good.
And I'm offering opportunities for me to just read articles that happen to be on
good.
Their site
good.
That they can't read and sending it to
because
them.
Because they're
but
not
like,
good at reading or they don't have time to read?
It's more that they probably just don't have time to read. Because, I mean, if they're doing podcasts, Lord willing, they have good voices and they're
sure.
good at reading.
Are you good? Are you good at reading?
Yes, I'm very good at reading.
I'm atrocious at reading. No, really, I can't read for shit.
I loved reading. I was always the kid that's in class, and that's why I could have never done.
I probably would be in the sports broadcasting Hall of Fame if I could read. I probably would have went down that route.
That's why our radio show is going to work, because you don't have to read. You're just talking. It's awesome. You're weaving in and out ideas and opinions.
Linda, Nick from Bowling Green, I have something amazing to tell you. I did a show on Sirius called Wine and Web for about 7 months with Jake's dad.
Well,
this is real.
Oh,
Sam Ben Ruby. Sam Ben Ruby, a legend radio executive. I do nothing. I prep nothing. I do my first show. I go in and it goes to commercial time and I have to do a live read. In the history of my life, I've never done anything more embarrassing.
How long did it take you to get through the 30 seconds?
Oh, 7 years. Not one thing right. Complete disaster. I fucking like... I never get flustered, but like I won't even like read the fucking like Jewish stuff at Rosh Hashanah because I'm like so bad at reading, right? Yes. So I am flustered. Sam Ben and Ruby runs in. Everything up to this point is like legend. Like I'm gonna be the next fucking Howard Stern. But now he walks in and goes, fuck. He goes, okay, listen, do what Howard did. Read it beforehand and then improv it. Literally the next commercial. The greatest live read
of course.
In the history of radio.
That's why Howard's great, because he did that and you
That's
pulled
what
that
I
off.
Do. Guess
you
what?
Copied it.
I have great
a win.
News. This is real. The producer of that show,
yeah.
Jordan, emails me randomly the other day. He has the tape. So I'm going to air it.
So you too have a tape. Like I have a tape.
Listen, I'm 41. I'm no spring fucking chicken. I call it tape too. Nick from Bowling Green. What else are you doing? Because randomly DMing people that have sports, fantasy sports podcasts and offering to read things for them feels okay. I feel like there's more moves in you.
I tried starting a vlog and tried to I recorded one video of me. I guess like my fear about the document versus creating is like, if I'm going to do something about sports, I would be better if I've got like somebody to partner with, and I'm not saying like y'all.
It's okay.
I'm not saying that at all because I don't. But like being able to have somebody who is like an analyst, but then be able to have me where I could just
pontificate,
talk to them, and like yeah, exactly.
You need a yang. You feel
yes, exactly.
Okay, well, good
and
news.
So,
what's your Twitter handle?
At N. Perquet. My last name, at N. Perquet.
Spell it.
Change it.
Linda, is that your actual last name?
Yeah. What? Yeah, Cone. Okay. Cone. Yeah,
yes, okay. That's my last name. Yes.
As somebody named but Vaynerchuk, that's... do not change it. Just spell it for me. Okay. N.
Okay. P R I.
Okay.
Q U E T T E.
Linda, that's like a classic fucking hockey last name. Why are you mad at him?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll try to figure it out later.
But we understand he's better playing off people because solo, it's a little slow listen.
Yes, listen, Linda's giving you honest, Hall of Famers know how to analyze.
Legit.
Right? How would you say I'm doing?
Say that one more time.
An A plus.
Thank you. And Nick from Bowling Green, he's solo?
Nick needs to, I like the sidekick
give me
role.
Give me the answer.
He needs help.
What's the grade? F?
The grade right now? No, I'm not going to give him an F.
D minus.
I think he could do, I'll go C minus.
Okay, Nick, I'm an A plus. You're a C minus.
And I'm being kind, Nick.
Yes, we know she really wanted to give an F. I think the fact you just put out your handle, we're going to throw it up on everything here. There are thousands of people who follow me that love sports, who think they're the yin to your yang, and they're gonna connect with you on Twitter, and you're literally gonna find your partner in crime through getting through to this call, and it's gonna change your life, and there's gonna be a 30 for 30 one day in 71 years about Nick from Bowling Green and Sally from Arkansas.
And Nick, block out the noise, ignore the ugly mentions you might get on Twitter after this.
Okay.
You never
know. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I will.
Because you have to, you know, Gary knows this. You have to treat the good news with the bad news, the good reaction with the bad.
I prefer the bad news, Linda.
I know you do.
Yeah. I love when you showed me that Penguins towel.
That's it.
Secretly, I was like, fuck yeah, but you know I'll what fucking I love, show you,
but
Linda.
This is what I love from one of your videos. I hear everything you're saying.
I know.
I love what one of your videos is like, don't just rip my opinion. Tell me what's better.
I love it.
Give me your opinion. But that's what I love that you say that in your video to the people that have with these stupid mentions.
100 Listen, I prefer the negativity because it feeds me. I prefer the positivity because it feeds me. Now what?
Yeah, I'm all about find the positive.
Right.
I thought Nick was a little too negative. And
Nick's still here, Linda.
Oh, Nick.
Talk to him directly.
Linda, Nick, I definitely want your advice.
You said your piece. You said he's a F and he's negative. Nick, hold on. Go ahead. What?
I gave him a C minus because I felt bad I ripped his name.
Nick,
go ahead.
What do you think?
Yeah. I was just saying, like Linda, like, I know I got a C minus because you're being sweet and nice. And
I ripped your name and I felt bad.
Keep
no,
going,
that's
Nick.
Okay. No, it's okay. I'm gonna get shit for my name anyway. It's all right. The thing is I want your critique. I want your not your negative, but like your critiquing of why I made the C minus as opposed to. I mean, obviously, I can't go.
I will
against
say
Gary,
this. I'm gonna jump in. Here's why. Okay. I want to say is this call has continued.
Yes.
Ad nauseum. Yes. How long it's been?
Great news. We haven't even started. Okay. We're in the national anthem of a 19-inning game. To give you context of how
Rangers
long I'm keeping Nick
Mets and
from
Braves
bowling.
Played a
Do you remember
inning
that Islanders
game?
Fucking Capitals playoff game?
Yes, five overtimes.
That's what this call is going to turn into.
Okay.
Tyler sweating. Constantine's at some fucking sushi place waiting for me.
My daughter Sammy
Sammy's
might be at the
door. I mean, you know. The doctor's in the
Which
building.
Constantine like, is this? Is this
Morales? Constantine? No, this is
Constantine. I know.
Like a pharma company. He's a good friend of mine client, but huge
right,
boxing
back to Nick.
Fan. Nick from
Bowling
Green.
Nick, here's the deal. You've loosened up as this call has gone along, which shows progress, which I find the positive
so
out of it.
So maybe it's now a real C minus.
No, it's not. And I really think once he has some material to talk about and feel comfortable in his surroundings and knows that he belongs in a situation, I think his personality will come out and he'll challenge those he works with.
Hey, Nick, let me throw you a curveball that's intended with serious love. Ready?
Okay.
I'm going to give you an F, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not that I actually mean it, but I'm going to try to inspire you.
Tough love.
You and everybody else. The number of people that I asked for critiques and phone calls I made to critique me and what I did in my career, goose fucking egg. As a matter of fact, Robert Parrish, double goose egg.
Wow.
I would tell you that I am obsessed with doing. Let me give you a really, really, really good piece of advice for you and everybody else. Linda, out the gate, right? Playing hockey with the boys. She just did. She would hear feedback, but she did. I genuinely believe that people looking for feedback or perfection, there's just a million excuses for not doing. You should 100% produce audio podcast form, audio files on Anchor. You're following me. Fucking play along and do Sports Center. Play along with somebody on, like, just do, brother. Everybody's coming up with excuses. It comes from insecurity. I get it. But the reason I want to give you an F is I want you to hang up and be like, you know what? Fuck Linda. Fuck Gary. I'm going to go out and just do shit. Like, just start putting stuff on. I'm going to use a joke here. Put shit on tape. Just fucking, Linda had to fucking bake fucking cookies to trick people into producing something that could be seen. You can sit in your fucking underpants in an hour and have 10,000 times more people see it in an hour. Nick, you're living through the greatest era of production and distribution of content in the history of mankind. Take advantage of it. Block out all the other voices. Fuck everybody else and just fucking do. Got it?
Got it.
Good.
You never want to look back and say you didn't try. That's my...
Yeah. Just do, man. Don't worry. Who gives a fuck with Linda? I don't give a fuck that she's a Hall of Famer.
I'm actually...
Fuck her critique.
I think, you know what critique? She's
a fucking Hall of Famer. All-time appearances on SportsCenter. Right. And 2 years in, those fuck faces said to her, you're on the way out.
On what?
So what does that have to tell you?
Yeah. Don't
do you understand? Good. See ya.
Okay. Bye, Nick.
Linda?
Yes.
I love you.
Same here, man.
I've got to go now.
Constantine, give my regards.
You get to ask the question of the day. Any question you want. Thousands of answers on Facebook and YouTube. Question of the day.
Does this have to have like serious meaning?
This
or can be like the moment?
Any question you want.
Okay.
A sports question would be preferable because I get
like
excited.
I like sports with you and I think Jets. So to me, this current team, we know you don't want them to win a game.
No, don't
let's
go
be
there.
Realistic.
Let's go somewhere cooler because you're such a fucking genius encyclopedia. Take me back to an era where you ask... tell me what the Jets are going to do this year. Ask me something like... Steve Young, Randall Cunningham, say something about Grant Fuhr. Like, what about McDonald, the Calgary fucking mustache? Give me something about like something really weird, Cesar Chavez, Meldrick Taylor. What? Give me something really fucking nerdy.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Being a goalie, and you mentioned about how I created this tape and I made cookies to do this and I made this happen. On that tape, remember this was like early 80s, okay? This was like or it was in mid 80s because it was got me the job at Seattle in 88. So it was around 87, 86. There was a goalie who had a serious injury and it was so disgusting to look at. And it was something out of Game of Thrones. You could make the case. Do you remember that goalie's name?
Was it a North Star?
It was not a North Star.
Okay, I don't remember.
Okay. But that's you wanted what, me to try popular. To, you know.
Nope, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. And the winner, the first person to answer correctly in the comments, gets dinner with Linda Cohn, the legend.
That's right. I hope it's another goalie. You're awesome.